station on 2 for water transfer.
Good morning, Andre.
Hello, Houston. I'm ready for water transfer, and I have a getaway number 1555. This is empty.
Excellent. Offload time will be 26 minutes, and you are go in step 3.3.
Copy. 3.3 and 26 minutes.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie. No response required. The ESA team are ready for the crew conference.
Munich from Sophie. Copy. Thank you. I'll join right away.
Houston Station on 2 for water transfer.
Yes, Andre, you are go in step 6.1.
Copy. 6.1. Houston Station on 2 for water transfer.
Go ahead.
Transfer hose is disconnected from PWD and system bypass valve back to regeneration station.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Station Houston, PWD and XPWD are available again.
And station on 2. Just want to confirm portable water buses go.
Yes, very much. Thanks for asking.
I'm sure you guys said that earlier. I just missed it and didn't take the sign off.
No prob.
Houston, Sophie on 2. Good morning for step 1 of EMU motor operations.
Good morning indeed, Sophie. Step 1 is complete in 1.509.
Copy all. Step 1 complete. Thank you. Houston from Sophie. Step 5, CWCI serial number is 2138.
Good number. Looking for the quantity of water and gas bubbles, of course.
And what?
So, good morning, Jess. On the deuce for JLP aft 2, stow track inventory, line 4.
Jack, good morning. Console with you on 2.
All right, in line 4, I'm supposed to find a single foam box with some IV Gen mini filters inside of them. I've in fact found 2 foam boxes. One of them contains the serial numbers listed in the stow track line, 2004 and 2006, and the other has the serial number 2001. I'm going to put all 3 of those in the final destination listed, PMM overhead 1. Just want to make sure that you guys are happy with all 3 of those serial numbers ended up there, or if the third one should end up somewhere else.
All right, Jack, we copy all. Think that sounds like a good plan. We're going to just double check, and we'll let you know shortly.
Thank you.
Send from Sophie for CWCI.
Send it.
And back serial number 2138, approximate amount of gas would be 3/4 of a baseball.
Okay, that amount of gas should be acceptable. How much water would you say is in there?
I would say, so hard to tell, but I would say the back seems to be approximately 80% full.
Okay, you passed all the quizzes. You may continue in step 6.
Copy, step 6.
Station Huntsville, Space Ground 2 for Jack.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jack, confirmed your plan for that JLP stowage is good with us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Send from Sophie for double check.
We're with you.
To double check in step 10. I'm connecting the bag number, like the wastewater serial number 1084 on the UIA. Are you with me on that one?
We agree.
Good news, yeah. I was just, I wanted to double check since we earlier talked about the other one. But yeah, okay, thanks.
That's what we're here for. Happy to help.
Huntsville Station on 2 for ultrasound prep, step 3.2.
Station Huntsville City on 2, we see good connection with the hardware, so you can meet Monica and Alex over on Space to Ground 4 for the scans.
Station 4.
So dialogue on 2 for step 77.
Go ahead.
Well, I understand the water recharge of both EMU will take approximately 15 minutes. And do you expect me to stay staring at this screen just in case I see the error messages that are detailed in step 75 and 76, or should I put a timer and come back in 15 minutes?
Sophie, you're welcome to step away for 15 minutes.
Okay. Just an error log on 2.
Go right ahead.
On the IRU, I have a message which is low flow shutdown, but the CWCI is not empty. So I don't see myself in step 75 because the CWCI is not empty.
We agree and we see this sometimes, so we're going to call this a nominal end of the fill, and you can continue in step 78.
Okay, so I do not give the data in step 75 and I continue to step 78. Thank you.
Good read.
So now I'll come to
Houston here.
In step 126, the water pressure and gas pressure are for both EMUs are between 0.2 and 0.8. I'm supposed to verify it is 0. I think it's close enough, but just wanted to report it's not exactly 0. There's a remaining, like, 0 decimal minor thing.
Yes, we agree that that's close enough to 0. We try to indicate that with the tilde above the equal sign, but it is judgment call, and we agree that it's close to 0.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I didn't see the tilde. I should have taken my lesson, but yes. Yeah, thanks. That's exactly what I was looking for, so my bad for the question. Thanks.
Not at all. We'd rather have one extra question than one too few, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'd rather have one triple check compared to zero triple check.
Go team.
Houston, airlock on 2 for HECA checkouts.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, sorry we had a long handover. But the HECAs are available for the checkouts.
Perfect. That's in work.
Okay. And let me know anytime you want to come and finish powering them off.
Okay. We will proactively give you a call when we're ready for your next flu activity.
Okay.
Huntsville Station, Jack's on the deuce. Looking for a go for ultrasound 3 hardware power off and stove.
Jack, Huntsville's with you on 2. I am happy to give you that go.
Right, happy go for ultrasound power off the stove. Thank you.
Station, Huntsville on space ground 2 for Jack. No immediate response required, but if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick call back before you leave the Columbus, we have one request.
So, station, Jack's with you on 2.
Hey, Jack, we're about a minute from handover. We are not seeing power draw for our ADSA payload in Express Rack 3 at the Columbus 1 aft 1 location. We were wondering if you'd mind putting eyes on the power switch, the Locker 7 power switch at the Columbus 1 aft 1 forward 2 and seeing if that is on ON, as well as the ADSA front panel power switch at the Columbus 1 aft 1 Golf 2 location, and seeing if that is in the OM position.
The Locker 7, the power switch is on, the LED is not illuminated, and the ADSEP at Golf 2 power switch is in off OFF position.
Copy, I think we found our issue. And Jack Huntsville back with you on 2 after the handover. I appreciate that call down. If you wouldn't mind switching that power switch on ADSEP to the ON position, we'd much appreciate it.
Right, I will put that in the on-ON position for you.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Sophie and HECA term.
Hi, Sophie. I'm ready for you.
Good afternoon, Sophie. Great to hear your voice. I want to let you know that the file transfers for the HECA are complete, so you are go to start your HECA term activity when able.
Starting right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Roger, Charles Guardian. Roger, Charles Guardian. Stand station on 2 for Brad Professor.
Jessica, Houston's with you on 2, and if you're calling about your bladder changeout, we can give you that safing is complete in step 2.1. You are go for your procedure.
Thank you very much, Sami. My bladder's doing just fine, but I will change out the time process of my bladder, so thanks for that go.
That's good news. As a matter of fact, I could use a 2 here in a moment for my own bio break.
All right, just, you know, make a flight, do a little bit of work, and you can take that break. They can know that I said so.
You'll get to hear my dulcet tones, don't worry.
Wonderful, that's what I was looking for. Thank you, guys.
So now welcome to Medux Simulators.
Houston's with you on 2, Sophie.
And we are doing the airlock deconfig with Anil, and notice that in the sewage notes we have the Medux Simulator for EMU 3013, the Medux simulator serial number 1001 for his EMU, but for EMU 3003, I don't see any Medux simulator serial number. Since we have the two right here handy, I think EMU 3003, I guess it's going to be Medux Simulator 1003, but just wanted to be sure of this.
And Sophie, good question there. So taking a look at the procedure for EMU 3003, we're actually installing a Medux canister, serial number 0022. And we're digging into why we are installing a canister there and not a simulator. We'll let you know once we have that bit of information. How copy?
Okay, understood. Medux simulator 0022 instead of the kind of expected, installing Medux canister 0022 instead of the Medux simulator. I'm happy to have your thoughts on and for just my understanding out of curiosity.
Yep, that makes sense, and we are working on that answer. We'll let you know soon.
Sensation on 2 for bioprocessor.
We're with you, Jessica.
Tommy, this time I am looking for your go in step 2.15.1.
You are go in 2.15.1. Thanks for checking.
Thank you.
Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2 for Medux Context.
Airlock is with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie, so we found out some context for the Medux simulator and canisters. So for 3013, because it's scheduled for a loop scrub on Friday, we will put a Medox simulator in it, and that's what you've already done. And then for 3003, we will put a Medox canister in it because that's what we do ahead of EVAs.
All right. Well done, teams. You're one step ahead of the game.
That's what we try to be. And specifically, we do the Medox canister for EVAs in series, so that's why we've done it a couple days in advance here.
Yeah, well done, teams. Houston Station on 2, the bladder QD is made.
Houston copies. And Jessica, for your next And Jessica, back with you on Space Ground 2, just as a heads up, the safing in your next activity is already complete in step 2.4.
Sweet, we're just going to call for that. Thank you. Houston Station on 2, the UPA is in drain, and it's configured for recycle tank drain. Here, go to proceed with the command to drain.
Houston copies. Thank you for helping us make it drain.
Make it drain!
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Anil and Aret.
Anil on 2, Sami.
Good afternoon, sir. Great to hear your voice. We see that you've got ARED scheduled here shortly, and we were requesting a bit of your help with the tension knot adjustment, if you are ready to copy.
Ready to copy.
Awesome. So for tension knob, we'd like to request a half turn clockwise to the starboard tension knob and a half turn counterclockwise to the port tension knob.
Starboard, half turn clockwise, port, half turn counterclockwise. Got it.
Good read back, sir. Thank you very much for your help. Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and upcoming yellow activities at your convenience.
Yes?
Hey, Jessica, just wanted to give you a heads up that our recycled tank drain is complete. We, in fact, did make a drain, and we wanted to offer you a bit of flexibility with your next two yellow activities, so the fill and the offload yellow base swap. You can execute those at any time, and you have a go in the fill activity in step 3.1.2.
Okay, copy. Any time and a go in the fill activity. Thanks very much for that.
And Sami, a nil on 2. I was wondering if you could read back the tension knob turn settings that you had told me before.
Yep, a nil, I'm with you on 2. So we're looking at a half turn clockwise to the starboard tension knob and half turn counterclockwise to the port tension knob. How copy?
Got it. Half turn clockwise on the starboard and the port the other way, half turn. Thanks.
Good read. No problem.
Houston Station on 2 for recycle tank.
With you on 2, Jessica.
Yes, Tommy. We're not completely empty. We're between the T and the Y, which I think lately is in the expected range. Is that correct?
Checking. And you are absolutely right. That is expected, Jessica.
All right, copy. Thanks. Houston Station on 2 for recycle tank.
Go on 2.
Tommy, the blind supply line QD is demated from the bladder. We are in fill, and the compressor port is uncapped.
Great config. Thank you for the work.
Thank you.
And Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jessica and Yeda Baseswap.
102.
Hey, Jessica, I just want to let you know that we gave you that early go for the offload yet base swap as able. I know you got some activities coming up, but whenever you do tackle that activity, the safing in step 3.1 is complete.
Okay, copy. Yeah, I think I'll do that one after the PAO event, but copy, safing is complete. Thanks.
Sounds great. Station Houston on 2 for Jack and PAO events. If you can give us a slight zoom in on the camera, the scene looks good otherwise, and then whenever you're ready, we'll take your 10 count. Good scene, good stash. Good scene, good voice. Thank you, partner. And for your essay, we will be ready for an on-time start at 15:55. Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
We are ready for the event.
Associated Press, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is the Associated Press. How do you hear me?
We've got you loud and clear. Welcome aboard the International Space Station.
Well, hi there. Marcia Dunn here talking to you today from Cape Canaveral. Thanks so much, Jack and Jessica, for taking the time to chat with me today. My first question, tell me what it was like to witness the solar eclipse from orbit a week ago today. And I'm assuming you'll be on the lookout for the lunar eclipse coming up next week and maybe even in a better position to see that one.
We are always excited to see these kinds of phenomenon from our unique perspective up here on the International Space Station. Unfortunately, for this most recent total solar eclipse, we weren't in the optimal location to get a good viewing, but we did have a little bit of an opportunity through certain windows of the space station. I took some photos with a solar filter on a long lens looking at the sun, and I couldn't see, given our angle and the location of the space station at the time, I didn't see a total solar eclipse. but I did see, it looks like a moon bite, I'd call it. It's a little chunk of the moon, of course, passing in front of the sun. So I thought it was a pretty cool photo. I was excited to do it because I've never taken a photo like that. On my last mission, I was up here for an annular solar eclipse, and I was able to see this really gray shadow on the Earth, which was also cool to see, but unfortunately, given where we were, we didn't have that opportunity to see it next time. So I guess we'll just have to stay up here longer and wait for more.
What about the lunar eclipse next week? It's going to be pretty deep, I hear.
We're waiting to see the predictions. You know, our orbit isn't totally predictable. We change sometimes our altitude based on things going around in our orbit as well. So we're not 100% sure what our view is going to look like, but we're hoping for the best. It should be pretty awesome.
Well, do eclipses or auroras, what's tops for you for looking at cosmic wonders? How do they all stack up when viewed from space? And maybe you've even seen some shooting stars, too. I've seen some of the aurora pictures you've beamed down. They're just great.
Yeah, I think for me it's the aurora. It's interesting, on my first mission, which was 6 years ago, we were actually at a solar minimum. So the aurora, we saw a few, but they were not anywhere near as intense as they are now. Of course, this year we've just come off of the solar maximum, which was last year. And so that means much more dramatic, much brighter, much more brilliant, larger displays of aurora on Earth, from the Earth vantage point, and also up here. So we have had a lot of opportunities to get time lapses and photos, and there was one in particular. It was after a coronal mass ejection, this particular solar event. We were all in the cupola together, and this one was pretty unique because most of the time they're kind of off in the distance since they're closer to the polar regions and our orbit doesn't go quite that far. But this time, the green dancing aurora were right below us, passing over Earth and coming over the middle of the cupola, and it looked like a snake making its way right beneath us, and that was a really extraordinary one. You could see the green light bouncing off the white outside exterior of the space station. There's also been some really bright red wavelengths that we've seen in the recent aurora, given the intensity of them. So I think for me, those are truly spectacular and one of my favorite things to witness up here. It just looks so otherworldly and is so gorgeous.
Jessica, another one for you. I love your space cat apron and Anil's chef toque. Did you take up the apron or was it already up there? And talk about cooking in space. How hard is it to create your own dishes? What's the fanciest thing you've whipped up? And you too, Jack, maybe you're doing some cooking on the side.
You know, all of that credit goes to Anil. He brought that up, both of that chef hat and the apron, and I wore the apron, he wore the hat for that little episode that we did, our maiden episode, but it was fun. That was actually a very spontaneous moment. It wasn't something that we had planned, but we were all very excited about this lettuce that we've been growing up here. You know, we don't get a lot of fresh green growing things. We get some fresh fruits and vegetables that come up on cargo vehicles, but, you know, most of our food is dehydrated or just warmed up. So, in particular, I was very excited because I eat salad pretty much every day on Earth, just like Jack. And so I was really excited to have the flavor. So that was our first episode. We'll see what else we come up with. I actually did post earlier about the space cakes that we've had on this mission. Particularly our Russian cosmonaut colleagues up here have been making some extraordinary space cakes. So that's probably the most elaborate thing that I think we've been making this mission.
Jack, what about you? Do you dabble in the culinary arts up there at Shea ISS? Or, like, also, I want to talk to you about your mustache. Any space surprises in its growth and grooming?
The mustache is a lot of fun up here. You know, as you can see from Jessica's hair, hair just grows out. There's no gravity pulling it down, and the mustache is the same. Sometimes it just kind of goes out in all sorts of angles. And you got to keep it under control. You know, we've got our 1980 Slobie up here, a set of trimmers connected to a vacuum cleaner to keep it trimmed up, like we do with our haircuts up here. But it's a lot of fun. It's been a good source of jokes and enjoyment amongst the crew and the ground control team. A couple of them are growing mustaches in solidarity down there. But it's always good to have anything that creates some team bonding and a little bit of fun up here on the International Space Station.
Well, have there been any differences in growing a mustache in space or keeping it tidy versus down here on Earth? And has it been bothersome? And when do you plan to shave it off?
I guess my mustache is how long it stays depends on who you ask. But it's kind of become a little bit of my brand up here, so I don't know if it'll go away right away or I'll end up keeping it for a while. But it's actually not that big of a deal to maintain and as compared to down on Earth. You know, a lot of things we do up here are a little bit different. We don't have running water up on the space station. You know, when we take showers, it's a little bit more precarious than it is back home. And keeping our hands and face and utensils clean is a little bit different than it is on Earth. It's one of the things that we learn up here that we've had people up for 25 years to understand what it's like to live on the space station. And there have been plenty of mustaches over those 25 years, but it's just part of the fun. It hasn't been too difficult, and it's just been an enjoyable part.
Jessica, I need to ask you about your piccolo. Did you launch with that? I'm assuming it wasn't already up there. And did you perform live with the Boston Pops on July 4th, or was your part pre-recorded? And I have to say, you're lucky you don't play the tuba.
You're right. The piccolo was very intentional, and I wanted actually to fly my flute on this mission, but I didn't have quite enough space for it. It didn't fly up on the same vehicle as us. We are allocated a small amount of personal items that we send up on cargo vehicles that actually arrive before we do. So I did put my piccolo in with those items, and it was here before me. This is actually the second flight for my piccolo. I flew it on my first mission as well. We had talked with the Boston Pops about whether or not we could make this a live performance, because I think that would have been, you know, even cooler. But basically, logistically speaking, with the brief delay that we have and the time zone change and making sure that the video was really in sync with them playing, it didn't really seem to make sense for a live performance. So we did not do that one live. They had me record it ahead of time up here, so my crewmates had the benefit of listening to the beautifully resonant sound of the piccolo as I practiced this piece, which is a little bit tricky when you haven't been playing very often, as I haven't been for the last 20 years, because it's very high and it's very fast. And so Jack can also attest how high and fast it is. So that one was pre-recorded for them, but it was a lot of fun to do. I was incredibly grateful for that opportunity with the Boston Pops, and I think it was really a fun event for everyone.
Well, how often do you pull out the piccolo to play just for your own satisfaction? And any other musicians up there joining you with the instruments up there?
She played almost every day for several times a day for the week leading up to practice, and maybe a little less often now that we're in spacewalk phase. But there are quite a few instruments up here, and a bunch of our colleagues play different things. Actually listen to them play the guitar or have a little karaoke session on a Friday, Saturday night is one of the more relaxing things we get to do, you know, to rest and relax, take a break from our normal daily routine. Those types of hobbies are awesome up here.
Well, I was going to ask you what you both do in your spare time when you get some off-duty time. Do you ever get bored, or is that just impossible when you're speeding over the Earth at, from 260 miles up?
I don't think boredom is really possible up here. There's always something to do. There's always additional tasks to help keep the station organized. There's endless things to keep your personal gear organized. The window is just incredible. It can soak you in, and every orbit's a little bit different. So every time you look out the window, you're looking at a different city, at a different country, at a different part of our beautiful world. So it doesn't really ever get boring. We got a lot of great camera equipment up here, so lots of people get into photography and get pretty good at it. And taking photographs at with different lenses up here is a real interesting opportunity to get into. So I haven't found too much time where I'm like, man, I'm really looking for something to do, and I just can't find it. It hasn't been a challenge yet.
Jessica, I remember you took up a nice dress on your last space station mission. What's the fanciest piece of clothing up there with you this time? And how important and fun is it for you and for all astronauts, male and female, to dress up once in a while in space?
You know, I was very excited about that dress last time. One of the reasons why I flew it, we were really paying a tribute to the Apollo missions, because we had a lot of anniversaries around that time, and so we flew for our Halloween costumes some kind of Apollo-era type mission control uniform kind of things with the short button-ups and ties, and I thought, well, wait a minute, there were a lot of women that were making a difference back then, too, and so I flew a kind of 60s-era dress that I was quite excited about wearing. I wish I had a dress this time. I was, you know, I think that was the first dress in space. There was a movie that claimed that maybe they had the first dress in space, but I'm pretty sure I beat them to it. This time I didn't fly intentionally. I didn't really have anything too fancy. One of the things that I do like to do is have specific socks because, you know, we don't really get to express ourselves through our clothing very much up here. I guess I'm not really a khakis and polo type of girl on Earth, so I embrace that culture up here because it's part of the job. But I do have a couple of things this time. One was a gift that was given to me by one of my crewmates, this beautiful scarf, so that's definitely a little bit fancy. I think we can have some fun with this at some point. And then, of course, there's a pair of special pants, which we really, it's a long story, but it had to do with one of our training episodes, Noel's trip, where we had a camp entire crew and some amazing instructors and a flight director as well. And this is the story of the traveling hot pants that made their way up here to the International Space Station. We will all be modeling these at some point, but probably not on the media.
Well, that's too bad. Love to see you in those hot pants. For each of you, what are the highs and lows of the mission and any close calls of any kind? And also, how's everyone's health been? And I ask that because you replaced a crew that had to return early to Earth for medical reasons.
Anytime you're away from home on a mission for months at an end, there's definitely highs and lows. That's 100% true. There's a lot of great things that you get to do. You get to participate in really unique science, like getting to actually pipette into different test tubes and do some DNA development was really cool for me. I studied physics at undergrad, and we got to work install a cold atom lab here, which is looking at quantum mechanical properties up here in microgravity that they just can't figure out down on Earth, and so or they just can't have the same type of experimental apparatus. So that type of stuff is really awesome and really interesting to be a part of. But for me, I think when I get back a year from now, the things that I'm going to remember are the times that someone did something just a little bit funny or a little bit off, and we just all just started laughing and just had this giant laugh attack and just really enjoyed each other's company while we were up here, you know, stuck in this tin can for 8 months. Having those types of friendships and those bonds and those kind of fun moments really make it quite a good experience.
Yeah, I have to say I really agree with Jack on that one. If I think back to my previous mission when people asked me that question, we did a lot of incredible things, all the science, things like Jack mentioned, the spacewalks that we did then that we're doing now, which are all extremely rewarding, some of the most challenging things that we do. But when I look back on that, the things that really stick out in my memory are those simple moments of just sharing with your crewmates. It's such a unique environment up here where we not only went through something pretty intense together, riding a rocket to space, but we are up here not just as colleagues, but really as a family. You know, we do not go home at the end of the night. We have no separation between the people we work with. There's no escape from that, and it gives you this, it's a special kind of intensity and challenge sometimes, of course, but it's incredibly rewarding because we get to know each other so well, and to share these extraordinary moments together is something powerful and something that I think that really unites all of us as astronauts, specifically as crews that we're together, but really for anybody that's had this privilege to look down at the Earth. I think as far as people's health, everybody's been doing great this mission and feeling well. And, you know, like Jack said, whenever you're away for a long period of time, you never know what might happen. You know, we don't have a hospital up here, so we really do have to be prepared for anything. And we are. You know, we have a lot of medical equipment and supplies to deal with a lot of specific scenarios. We have training for that as well. And so, you know, when those things arise, we are prepared for them. Our new crewmate, Anil Menon, of course, is an emergency room doctor, so we're in even better hands than we were prior to his arrival to deal with anything that might come our way.
Well, as you look ahead to moon bases, one day going to Mars, what's the biggest hurdle in your mind after having had this experience? Is it the physical, the mental? And I'm assuming now that a moonshot is on both of your bucket lists.
That's an interesting question, what the biggest hurdle between us and putting people back on the surface of the moon. There's all the technological hurdles that we have to come up with, right? We want to go back in a sustainable way, in a way that we can keep people and equipment there for extended periods of time. And obviously that's new, and we're going to invent all that stuff. But I've got nothing but confidence that the team is going to create all of that, and it's going to happen. You know, there's always budgetary challenges. Are we going to have enough money to do the type of work that we want to do on the timeline that we want to do on it? Obviously, everyone faces those types of challenges. Human spaceflight is tough because of the humans. Humans are difficult. Like, we need food. We need sustenance. We need ways to clean the water and the waste. We need new clothes. We need all sorts of supplies. Like, all that is really difficult. And our time up here on the ISS really sets us up for success as we learn how to live and operate in microgravity and far away from the Earth. As for moonshots, like, yeah, this is a great time to be part of the space program, right? We're not slowing down, right? We're going to get back to the moon. We're going to get back there soon. We're going to get back there and stay. Like, the office isn't that big. There's a great chance for really all of us over the next decade or two to have an opportunity to go. And I think that those opportunities are just going to expand, and it's a real exciting time to be part of the space program, be part of NASA, to be an American, to be a human that's watching other humans live in space and go on to other planetary bodies. It's a great time to be alive.
I think I have one more question before I say goodbye and safe travels. The space station is almost 30 years old. What's your take on whether it can endure another 4 years without faltering? I know you had to take that temporary emergency shelter in June because of the Russian leaks, but is that all resolved now? What do you think about the longevity of the space station at this point?
Yeah, I think we'll just have to wait and see what happens. We're constantly reevaluating it. We have hundreds, thousands of engineers on the ground that are constantly analyzing those situations that arise and undergoing more testing on the ground for materials, even when we have some of these new problems, and just trying to understand more about what happens as it comes. Of course, the space station has had an incredible run. It has far outlived, I mean, it's about, what, twice its normal planned life expectancy, so to speak, and I think that has been a very fruitful endeavor. We have demonstrated so many hardware objectives, so much groundbreaking science up here that has made it all worthwhile. So I'm not sure how much longer it'll go, but I think at least, you know, 2030, maybe even longer than that now we're talking about. And I think it's wonderful to have this continuous human presence in space, almost 26 years now of continuous human presence, which is a really big deal. A 26-year-old person never knew life without a continuous human presence up here in space in low Earth orbit, and that's really important. We are at NASA, of course, working now toward these exploration missions, going back to the moon and eventually to Mars, and we also have a big effort in the sustained presence in a commercial sector in low Earth orbit. So I think that we will have some commercial space stations kind of just around the corner to maintain that presence, but hopefully the space station will be able to sustain us so that we don't have to give up this presence before those come along. So we'll see what happens, and you know, I know that NASA and all of our partner agencies are always evaluating everything to make sure that we do maintain our safety up here as well.
Well, Jessica, Jack, it has been such a pleasure to talk with both of you. Godspeed to both of you and all of your crewmates. Safe travels in your next month's back to Earth. Bye-bye.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes our event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Station Houston, on two for Jack.
Station, Jack's with you on the deuce.
Hey, Jack, just wanted to let you know that for your stowage conference tomorrow, ISO did not have any topics. We were wondering if you have any topics, because if you don't, we can go ahead and cancel the conference.
Sure, I think that's a great plan. We've been talking over email just a little bit, running down some things, so I think we'd actually know that you'll need a conference. We got a lot of other things going on, so I will appreciate the time back.
Copy that. We'll put it in work. Thank you, sir.
Houston, ALL on 2.
Houston's with you on 2, Sophie.
I was wondering if you were able to support the start of the battery activity a little earlier, and if yes, when would that be possible to do? It's just a nice to have, not a requirement.
And Sophie, thanks for checking on that. We are ready for that activity now.
Great news. Thanks a lot. Starting now.
Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2 for Sophie. No response required. Just want to give you a heads up that since you got an early start on your battery install, you can press into your ops init activity whenever you are finished. You don't need to wait for that activity on Optimus.
Thank you so much.
Station on 2 for ETS offload.
We are with you on 2, Jessica.
Yes, Tommy, I have Gateway 1457 now in place in the offload position with the green hose attached to the pedestrian delineator.
We copy, and that's a good config. Thank you for the help.
Welcome.
Station airlock on 2 for battery activity, step 6.
We're with you on 2, Sophie.
On step 6, the charger 1 configuration is correct. But charger 2 and 3, there are some more batteries, and I noticed when I did install the batteries in the previous activity that there were some more. So on the charger 2, we have, on top of channels 3 and 4, we also have channel 1 and 2. And for charger 3, we also have channel 2.
Checking. Give us one moment. And Sophie, while we're looking into that, we want to give you a heads up that previously there was a break scheduled, a 10-minute break scheduled in your EVA debrief with the rest of the team. Since Jessica was able to get ahead on her timeline, we won't need to take that 10-minute break unless you guys want it. We'll just shuffle the participants in the that are participating in the conference when we transition from part one of the conference to part two.
That's great news. Annie copies that and is very happy about this, too.
And Airlock Houston, for Sophie, we're back with you on batteries.
We're ready to copy.
So for the additional batteries that you called out, Sophie, we expected them to be removed as part of one of the previous activities, specifically in the bat remove activity. That's procedure 1.672 for battery removal steps 4 and 6. If you can go ahead and turn off all three charges and then perform the battery removal for those additional ones, you'll be in a good config for this activity.
So I will turn power off the all three chargers, remove the ones that were not in the stowage node, and I will end up with only EMU battery channel Alpha and channel Charlie, LPGT batteries, Echo Foxtrot Golf, and L-Reba batteries. I'll just confirm to you right after.
Okay, we will wait for that confirmation. And just to add additional clarification, the procedure we want you to execute was a part of your 1630 EVA bat remove activity.
Oh, right. Okay, so this activity, I thought I was only gathering stuff. Thank you very much for catching this. I'm glad we double-checked.
No problem. We got your back.
Routine. So, Airlock, just quick information about the L-Rebus.
Go ahead, Sophie. We're ready to copy.
Yeah, I don't know if it was expected, but the L-Reba serial number 1005 was already in the mesh bag, so I just removed right now only 1007. So right now the one that are remaining are 1006 and 1009 that I just installed before.
All right, thanks for that note. That is a good config, Sophie.
Houston Airlock on 2 for battery ops in step 21.
Sophie, Houston's with you on 2 for bat ops.
So the scheduled tasks on charger 1 are for channel 1, 3, and 4. Charges scheduled. On charger 2, channel 3 and 4, charges scheduled as well. And on charger 3, channels 1, 3, 4, and 5 where a charge is scheduled.
And Sophie, that's a good report. Thank you very much. You can continue.
Okay, continuing.
Bill Station Jack's on the deuce for JLP at 2 audit.
Hey, Jack. Consul Salini on 2.
All right, I've got a couple questions for Georgie, if you're ready.
And we are ready.
These are steps 20 through 24.
And we're ready, Jack. Go ahead.
Okay, step 20.01, 20.02 are about SLAN D hardware. I just want to double check, you do indeed want me to restow these out there. I understand that we trashed SLAN D, so I don't know if we're keeping this stuff or this stuff's going to end up in hardware trash.
And Jack, we do not have our stowage supporting console this shift, but we will take note of that and get an answer back to you shortly.
Some, and happy to just have these questions taken down. I guess that's the next best solution. So step 22.01, I'm supposed to find a bag, or I'm supposed to find anchor guide studs, quantity 5, and I did not see them. I'm not entirely sure what they are, how big they are, what they should look like, where they could be. So looking for some guidance on that.
Okay, we copy not finding the anchor guide studs. We'll check on that one as well, see if we have some more guidance on a backup location. And if not, maybe we can get you a photo.
Awesome. Step 23, I'm confirming the presence of a Ziploc bag labeled AMS hardware. All the other AMS stuff is going into a dedicated AMS Ziploc in steps 22.01.02.03. Looks like this is not being kept with the AMS, going back with all the other AMS hardware in one Ziploc. You just want to make sure that that's correct, that you just don't want them all in a single Ziploc.
Yep, we'll check on that one as well, but we do believe that one is correct and we want that separate, but let us double check as well.
Okay, and sorry for badgering you here, but my last question is, there's also a foam box labeled NICER, all in caps, Caddy, and NICER patch. That's not on your list of stuff that's in there, and I just wanted to know the final disposition of that thing.
And Jack, we copy. Again, we'll have to work with our stowage folks as well as EDA and see if we can't get an answer for you on that one, but we'll track it down and hopefully have something to you by the EPC.
All right, yeah, no worries, no rush. So just wanted to have the questions out there for whenever they can be figured out. Appreciate your time.
No problem at all. Thanks for calling them down, and we'll get back to you.
And Sophie entered for AED inspection.
Go ahead on 2, Sophie.
On step 1.1 of the AED inspection procedure, I've got good LEDs, so 4 LEDs for spare batteries.
And that's a good number, Sophie. Go to continue.
Okay, go. It's then Sophie on 2 for more AED inspection.
Go ahead on 2.
On step 2.4, I have full battery charge on the installed battery of the AED.
Copy that, Sophie. That is a good report. Good to go.
Copy.
Still station, Jackson 2 for JLP F2 on it.
Jack, Huntsville's Liddy on the deuce.
Yeah. Sorry, I got one more Ziploc that was floating in the corner that I didn't see. It is not on the list, and it is labeled GMT 229-2023 from Lab Starboard Deck 4 from POC Possum Activity. It looks like two fluid quick.
And Jack, you cut out on the last bit there. We may be going to sporadic comm. If you don't mind repeating what it looks like from the back.
There's two fluid quick disconnect. Like for an MTL line or whatever.
Copy. Two fluid quick disconnects from an MTL line. And we'll look into that one as well, Jack. 2023, well, it's a bit of a blast from the past.
I think I'm too old to think that 2023 is a blast from the past.
Touche. Yeah, I think that's a blast from the past in relative ops terms.
The Astros win the series in 23. That might have been a good year.
The Braves fan in me was slightly sad. Came by one.
Stay on the station on 2 for a second, thank
you. Hey, Jessica. Houston's with you on 2. We can give you an early go for your recycle tank process activity. The safing is complete per step 7. I've also got a couple bits of traffic for you if you're ready to copy.
Hey, copy your go and ready to copy.
Awesome. So we would like to cancel USOS Evening DPC tonight, so I wanted to let you know a couple things, one of those being that the plan for tomorrow is currently on board, but we will continue to update it overnight as the plan materializes. As well, Jack was asking some questions of Huntsville a bit ago regarding some auditing items, so we'll hand over to John here to give those answers to Jack at Jack's earliest convenience. And then lastly, if you don't have any other questions for Houston, Munich, or SCUBA, we can go ahead and cancel it if you agree. Cancel USOS portion.
Yeah, we are fine with that. We appreciate it. I think we're all excited to get to bed early tonight. And Jack will follow up with a call to John to get those answers.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. You guys have a wonderful evening. Thanks for all the great support today.
Absolutely. It was great working with you. Good night.
Houston Station on 2, one last call. I am in process on the EPA, and we have the red hose attached to the compressor port hose.
Great configuration. Thanks for the work.
You're welcome.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie and upcoming Medox region init activity.
Houston, Sophie's with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie, just want to let you know that step 1 of that procedure has been completed by the ground, so whenever you are ready to hop into that activity, you can continue in step 2.
Great news. I'll start now. Thanks for the heads up.
Not a problem. Great working with you today.
Phil, Station Jack's with you on the deuce for follow-up to storage.
Huntsville's with you on the deuce. Jack, if you're ready to copy, I'll start rattling.
I am ready to copy.
All right. For the first item, the SLAMD hardware, that is actually expected to be repurposed to help tie down SSRMS hardware during SpaceX 35 return. So we would actually want to keep that where it's at.
I think I will put that poster up.
And secondly, for the anchor guides, the AMS anchor guides, we got clarification that those were actually retrieved already for the upcoming triple jump EVA after the stow track was written. Apologies, we should have caught that and made the update to the DOT. But the good news is, it's good news that they're not there, so you don't have to worry about it.
All right, copy. So I think that means I'll create a Ziploc bag and put all the other two AMS bags inside that Ziploc steel conifer that's sewn out, just not without the anchor guides in them.
And that's a good read and a perfect segue into the third item. That AMS hardware, all the AMS hardware can actually be consolidated into a Ziploc bag. So for that one item that was a separate Ziploc bag, feel free to go ahead and consolidate that into one, or as how you best see fit. Just let us know the final config.
Okay, I will do that.
And while we're talking AMS bags, that 2023 Possum bag with the quick disconnect hardware that you mentioned, that can actually be staged with that AMS hardware as well.
All right, sounds good. I will put those QDs in there. Is there a better label for it than that, or is the label that's currently on it sufficient?
The label that is currently on it is sufficient. We do, or we would like one clarifying answer on that one. Are those actually QDs, or are they QD caps?
They're definitely caps.
Copy, thank you. And then finally, for the nicer foam box, that is expected to contain the caddy and the patches for potential nicer EVAs. We do have some forward work with the EVA team on the value of keeping that hardware long term, but for the time being, we would like to keep that as is and just show where it's currently at for now.
All right, I will leave it there in Georgie.
awesome, and I believe I covered all the bases there. Any other notes?
Oh, I think that's right. That was the last one. I appreciate you guys looking that up, and I will may not get it tonight, but I'll put that into work.
Awesome. Appreciate all the extra notes from our end. That hits all the expectations of a successful audit.
So I appreciate everything, and you guys have a good rest of your night.
Likewise.